listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting from Southern California, Los Angeles, California, the West Coast of the United States. And once upon a time in America, you know, there was a movie called Once Upon a Time in America. I think that's the exact title. Once Upon a Time in America. It was a brutal, but well-made gangster film. But I'm not here to talk about gangsters, or maybe I am. Because when you're describing organized, very bad people that make money off of selling very bad things that destroy people, I guess you could call those people criminals. And because they're organized at a high level and they're capitalized at a high level, you could call them gangsters. Some people call them CEOs or chief financial officers or chief executive officers. Some of the employees of these giant multinational corporations disparagingly refer to their bosses as gangsters. And the reason is that the business ethic that, I mean, it was always somewhat of a Disney-like fantasy, but at least there was some kind of external effort, no matter how phony, there was some kind of external effort, at least when I was first growing up and going back into the past. People pretended, people made some kind of effort to maintain a status quo that included personal ethics and business ethics. Now, look, we all know it was not a perfect world. We all know that that was basically a fantasy daydream. But at least there was the effort to pursue that in America. Now, we've passed that a long time ago. We passed the point of no return a long time ago. And so now we have, when we're speaking of planet Earth, we have to ask the question, who rules planet Earth? I'm working on a new book, which is a follow-up to previous books. In fact, it's a follow-up to one of my earlier books, Who Will Rule the Future? It's also a follow-up to The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind, History of the World, and other books. Because you see, as I've been seeking the Lord in prayer, and I don't want that to sound religious. When I seek the Lord in prayer, I'm praying. I'm talking to him. I'm not sitting there, playing with rosary beads and saying five Our Fathers and four Hail Marys. Look, I'm not knocking you if you're a Catholic, nor am I promoting Catholicism. Now, I have to say that because there's people in the audience who don't know who I am, and they have no idea what I believe, so I have to constantly repeat myself. But I have met many Catholics who in many areas are better Christians than some of the evangelical Protestants that I've met. Now, if we're talking about the whole thing, and I don't want to get into a whole digression on Catholicism, I'm not a Catholic simply because there are theological problems and conflicts I have with some of the major tenets of Catholicism. So I'm not a Catholic. And I'm not promoting some secret Catholic agenda. Much to some people's disappointment, because they always want a juicy conspiracy theory gossip item. If you're really doing something for the Lord, which is any one of you out there, because God judges us all individually, And I would suspect that a lot of you are doing something for the Lord, or you wouldn't be listening. You'd be listening to some, you know, whatever, diversionary media. But the key thing here is I've met Catholics that took the scriptures seriously. Now, I have a problem with the overemphasis on Mary. I have a problem with Catholicism's claim that the Pope is some kind of higher level spiritual being. I have a big problem with that. Because you look at this current Pope, and this guy is like, you know, we all are supposed to measure our biblical doctrine according to the standard of God's word. And this current Pope and some of the people surrounding him at the Vatican, I mean, that they have gone off the deep end in a big way. So there's no way you can tell me that this particular Pope has some kind of inside track to God. And then there's other things also. But before I continue, many of those same problems to lesser or greater degrees exist within the Protestant evangelical Christian church. A friend of mine, Frankie Schaefer, who is the son of the great theologian Dr. Francis Schaefer. Dr. Francis Schaefer, as you know, was the world's premier biblical theologian and scholar for the last 150 years. And Dr. Schaefer often said that in the Protestant religion, the evangelical religion, we don't have a pope, one pope, he said. But it was very insightful what he said. He said, we don't have one pope, but what we have in evangelical Christianity is, instead of one pope, we have many popes. And by that he meant that the evangelical Christian community, sadly to say, worships all these men who are kind of like quasi-popes because they have enormous television platforms or mega churches, book outreaches, et cetera, et cetera. So in Catholicism, you have one man, the Pope, who's essentially directing the ship. In evangelical Christianity, you probably have, I don't know, 30 popes, and I'm being conservative, people who have huge platforms and hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people, hang on every word they say, even though many of them are completely non-biblical. They've strayed from the Bible. So you hear this intense criticism of Catholicism from Protestants, but if you look in the mirror as a Protestant, you notice that, okay, the Catholics put their Pope up on a pedestal, but we have 30 different popes. And our popes are in many respects, not all of them, but in many respects, they have strayed just as far from the scripture as the Catholic Pope does. So that doesn't summarize my thinking about all of this. And the takeaway is, no, I'm not a Catholic. No, I have no allegiance to the Pope or the Vatican, nor would I accept any allegiance to the Pope or the Vatican. And the reason for that is scriptural. And I would apply that same rule to the quasi-evangelical Christian popes that have strayed from the Bible. So let's just talk about one. The way the current Pope is functioning now, he's functioning as an apostle of Marxism or socialism or communism. He's not functioning as a biblical leader. You just listen to his words. He deviates from the scripture and says things like, there are many ways to God. Well, that's completely the opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says there's only one way to God. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So you can't, as the Pope and the Vatican have said publicly, you can't say, okay, Satanists, New Agers, Buddhists, Hare Krishnas, whatever, you know, a mixed bag. You can't say that all of their doctrines or all of their truths are equal, quote, as long as they're sincere, and they're all going to go to heaven. And if you follow any of their pathways, if you follow any of the different spiritual pathways, you're going to get into heaven too. Well, that's flat out bad theology, and it's flat out nuts. So, for example, if I was, and I was on the way to speak at a conference a number of years ago, Jack Hibbs Bible Prophecy Conference at his church in Chino Hills, and I always get lost coming off the freeway. Now, if I didn't have a GPS in the car that worked, and somebody said to me, well, you keep traveling west and you're going to run right into the church. Well, the reality is if I kept traveling west and I didn't look at the GPS, I would drive right into the Pacific Ocean. I would drive right on the pier of Santa Monica, and I'd drive right off of the pier and probably drown me and my car in the Pacific Oceans. Why? Because not all pathways lead to the Pacific Ocean any more than not all pathways lead to God. There's only one way to God, and it's defined very precisely by the Bible. So that's how we measure. That's how we evaluate. That's how we discern anyone who is saying that they're a spokesman or a leader or a prophet of God. We just don't accept that at face value. We use spiritual discernment, the Holy Spirit, but there's something that comes above the Holy Spirit. This is very important. This is what originally Protestantism was all about, and evangelical Christianity used to be all about. And that is sola scriptura, scripture alone. So you measure or you discern based on whether or not what somebody's saying or teaching or whatever their theological position is, it absolutely must match up to the teaching of the Word of God written in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So if a leader or a so-called prophet or whatever, a minister, or a denomination, if they depart from the Word of God, from placing the Word of God first, we know indeed for a fact that they have moved into the area of spiritual deception, apostasy, and because they have departed from the Word of God, they have placed themselves in the category of a false prophet, a false teacher, a false apostle who teaches false doctrine. And you're not supposed to be following them or listening to them, whether it's the Pope or your favorite prophet. And I'm not knocking gifts of prophecy. I believe gifts of prophecy are operational today. I believe gifts of prophecy have been operational since the founding of the church on the day of Pentecost. But remember what the Word of God says regarding prophecy and prophets. It says, believe not every prophecy. Get a couple of strong elders of the church, strong believers in the Word, and use your discernment. Exercise discernment. Make an evaluation of the biblical accuracy of somebody who claims to be a prophet. Just don't believe anyone. So we came out of one of the most difficult times in human history. We came out of one of the most difficult times in the United States of America. We had massive political upheaval, massive political chaos, riots in the streets. All hell was breaking loose all over the place. Then we have a coronavirus pandemic that explodes, and social isolation and quarantines and all kinds of things. Yet we have a disturbingly high percentage of Christians who are not following the Word of God first. They're following whatever their emotional feelings are telling them. And we all know that our emotional feelings are subject to change moment by moment. You can wake up feeling great, and by lunchtime, you can be suffering from mild depression. That's just the way the human biosystem and psychological system works. So the huge era, see, it's easy to point the finger at the eras of Catholicism. That's easy to do. But then we have to point the finger at the eras of evangelical Christianity. And when you have a significant percentage of evangelical Christians putting people up on a pedestal, just like the Catholic Church does with the Pope, when you have evangelical Christians putting people up on a pedestal, coronating them and calling them prophets, listening to their words and their prophecies, and equalizing their words and prophecies as if they were on the same level as the Word of God, and they think that these prophecies come directly from God, because the so-called prophet claimed to have a dream, a vision, or this happened to him, or that happened to him or her. And what they said, many of them made definitive claims about what the outcome of the presidential election would be, and a lot of other stuff along with it. And none of it happened. None of it happened anywhere near the way they said it was going to happen. In fact, they were completely wrong. The president that they said, because they were, quote, prophets of God, the president that they said would win election again, and they were referring to Trump, lost. And President Biden became president. Okay, so you got to deal with that. You can't just sweep it under the carpet and wait for the latest and greatest new edition in the upcoming series of their ever-increasing and redefining prophecies designed to cover their posterior. You can't do that. They blew it. Okay, so they blew it. It doesn't mean we crucify them, but we need to use our discernment and recognize that many of these people have a proven track record of error. And because they have a proven track record of error, they are, to whatever degree you want to categorize them, they are or they have become false prophets, or at the very least, they've issued false prophecies that have substantially led the body of Christ astray. And that's because all of these Christians didn't put the Word of God first. So that's the warning. That's the warning that we have to constantly reiterate and constantly talk about. One of the primary missions of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church is to continually teach, because it's something that you have to continually teach in the body of Christ. You must continually teach people, which is one of the things that I'm committed to doing. I have to continually teach people from the Word of God that God expects us to use spiritual discernment and to evaluate whether a teaching or a so-called prophet or whatever is biblical or not. And it's very simple. We study the Bible. The Bible is our number one authority above everything else. And if somebody says something or has a dream or a vision or claims to be a prophet, and it doesn't come true, or it contradicts what the Word of God says, the Bible says we are to reject those prophecies. We're to reject the false teachers, the false prophets, the false prophecies, and we're to get back on the straight and narrow, which is the Word of God, and place the Word of God first. You know, I chose to be measured in my public remarks regarding this. Not because I was afraid to deal with it, I'm not afraid to deal with it, but because I didn't want to add to the confusion that was already there. But I remember reading these people would send me all kinds of social media and emails and videos of what this prophet said, what that prophet said, what Q said. Why do I care what Q said? I remember a couple of years ago, some people who, I guess they knew Q or they were in, they claimed to be in contact with Q, and they were all excited and they said, "Paul, Q wants to meet you. Q reads your books and stuff, and he wants to meet you, and he wants to know when you can meet." And I politely hung up the phone, and I said to my wife, I said, "Chris, I have no desire in the world to meet with Q. I said, I'm busy. I have things that the Lord has called me to do. I don't want to meet with Q." And the reason I didn't want to meet with Q is because I already knew just from using a biblical mindset, operating in a biblical worldview, that without meeting Q, I didn't need to meet him because I have the Bible, I have the Word of God. Q, whoever he is, for all I know, Q is a creation of the intelligence agencies, or Q is a group of alternative hackers or something. I have no idea who Q is or who Q represents. But the point is, I don't need to look to Q. Q's not God. I look to God. And so I politely decline the offer because I'm not looking to Q for supernatural answers, nor am I looking to Prophet so-and-so or Prophet so-and-so or this, you know. I'm not looking there. I'm looking to the Word of God, and should too. So when we rightly divide the Word of God, and if we want to avoid spiritual error, then it's a simple formula. We put the Word of God first. The Word of God, the teachings of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that is our final authority. And the Word of God is always, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer said, the Word of God is always above any so-called mystical experiences, charismatic experiences, or supernatural experiences. The Word of God is our final authority. And when we operate our Christian lives on that basis, then we don't get swept up into error. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. McGuire is spelled M-C-G-U-I-R-E, paulmcguire.us. We have thousands of hours of free video teaching, audio teaching. You have free access to the Paul McGuire Report radio archives, free access to the Paul McGuire Prophetic Emergency Alerts. You can go to our Roku channel and watch hundreds of hours of Bible teaching and Bible prophecy teaching I've given from the physical Paradise Mountain Church location, conferences that are on our Roku channel. All of this is free. Hundreds of pages of articles with photographs and illustrations, stuff that will build you up and teach you in God's Word. Now, we make as much of it as we can free because we're a ministry. So the purpose is to give it out, and hopefully you'll get help give it out. When it comes to books, we have to charge for books because books are expensive to write, publish, and print and mail. But books are some of the most powerful means of teaching and communication that there are. So I strongly encourage you to go to paulmcguire.us, take advantage of the significant money savings and discounts that we're offering you right now. If you take advantage of our book bundles, and you can get, for example, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, The Day the Dollar Died is heavily discounted. If you don't understand the money system, shame on you. An easy way to understand it is to read The Day the Dollar Died, and it's on a big discount at paulmcguire.us, and Conquering the Matrix, which teaches you in a simple way how to avoid, how to protect your loved ones, how to be protected from hypnotic programming, mind control, social engineering, propaganda, and stuff like that. We live in an age where gangsters, let's go back to that term, or the globalist elite use their billions and trillions of dollars. The bottom line is they want to be in charge of planet Earth. This is very difficult for historically naive people and historically naive Christians to wrap their head around, because they have embraced the lie. The lie that they've embraced is they have a fairy tale view of what reality is like that they must have picked up from watching a lot of Disney movies when they were kids. You need to be able to look at the truth of our reality. If you're looking at reality and your perception has been poisoned by your magical belief system. Now, when I say magical belief system, neuropsychiatrists, psychologists, and propaganda experts use a common term. It's called magical thinking. And what they mean by that is that you can program and hypnotize people to no longer think rationally and logically and learn the lessons of history. You can program them to believe in what the scientists call magical thinking, which is simply that there are shortcuts to reality, that you can kind of magically make things happen. And magically, you know, this will happen and that will happen. What that reflects is a very infantile and immature basis of thinking. And if you indulge in magical thinking, which is what the people followed all the false prophets did, you're going to go down. You're going to become a slave. You're going to go in captivity. And that is not the will of God for you. Magical thinking is synonymous with make-believe thinking. If you're going to be a mature man or woman in Jesus Christ, then there's no shortcut for that. The only way you're going to be a mature man or woman in Jesus Christ, the only way you can be a person that God can use, the only way you can see your destiny released by God is this way. It's the old-fashioned way. You pick up your cross and follow Jesus. And you choose to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, and you choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You choose to accept the disciplines of following Jesus Christ, such as living a holy and sanctified life, such as studying the Word, such as doing all the disciplines that will cause spiritual growth and cause your mind to be renewed by the Word of God. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ means you've got to put in time in prayer and reading the Bible and worshiping with other believers and reading books that will teach you a biblical worldview. That's how you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The only way you can develop the mind of Christ, which sets you free, is to renew your mind with the Word of God or teaching or books that are that line up with the Word of God. And then you can be the person that God created you to be. That's the game plan. But you see, this is the place. You have to break through the barrier of magical thinking. You have to, you know, in America especially, because we've had things relatively easy, we all have been simmering in the soup of this kind of mythological belief system where, you know, everything is like a Hollywood movie or a TV show. Everything is easy. Everything is simple. Everything is magical. Everything turns out okay with very little effort. That's not the way life works. You have to look at reality in a realistic manner, which means you have to look at reality in a truthful manner. You have to perceive reality in a truthful manner. Well, what do I mean by that? You have to break through the barrier of demonic illusions about life. The devil wants you to be pumped up with demonic illusions, magical thinking, so that he can control you. But in reality, if you start to believe the lies of the devil, you're on your way to captivity and slavery and finally death. So it comes down to this. There's all kinds of things in reality which are constantly teaching us the truth about our reality. What's the difference between the way a kid thinks or a child thinks and how a mature adult thinks? Well, you know the answer to that. Children think like children. Kids think like kids. Teenagers think like teenagers. Adults, theoretically, should think on a mature level, a more realistic level, which may be a little more demanding, but you will be set free in the process. So this is where we want to go. God's word is what sets us free. Let's call them lies. There are lies which become barriers to growth in our external world. They become barriers to comprehending reality truthfully. And these mythologies that we believe in can become lies that develop inside of our heads and minds, and they're satanically energized. Those lies that are built up in our minds are called satanic strongholds. They're like these internal neurological fortifications of perception and thought and tainted logic and tainted reason, which gives us, unfortunately, a distorted, tainted view of reality and life. Why? Because it's based on lies and it's not truth. And if we proceed and act and function based on these lies, we will perish. A classic example of that would be Adam and Eve. They lived in paradise, the Garden of Eden. They were given by God the power to rule and reign, just like they were kings and queens of planet Earth. And because of that, they were able to exercise dominion or authority or rulership over planet Earth. Now, when they stopped believing God and his word first, and then they switched over into believing the lies, the seductions, the wiles, the strategies, and the schemes of the devil, they disobeyed God's word, which activated the law of sin and death. Immediately, the death force entered the human race. They began to die, and instantaneously, they lost their God-given authority, their God-given rulership, their ability to rule and reign and exercise dominion on planet Earth. Instead of being the kings and queens of planet Earth, they now went into captivity and became the slaves of Satan. Why? Because Adam and Eve's disobedience allowed Satan or Lucifer to become the temporary god or ruler of planet Earth. And Satan, or the devil, has continued to be the temporary ruler of planet Earth ever since Eden up until the present moment. And so what we have is, you and I and the whole human race, is we are caught up in this titanic spiritual and physical battle between the forces of God and the forces of the devil, between God's angels and the fallen angels, between all the men and women who have sold their souls to Satan for power, etc., and then all the people that have given their lives over to Jesus, to serve Jesus. These two warring groups, God and his people and angels, and Satan and his angels and his people, are warring for control of eternity and planet Earth. But the Word of God tells us one is going to emerge victorious and the other is going to be defeated. And you know the answer to that. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to be victorious. And all those who put their faith in Christ are going to be given back their ability to rule and reign in the new earth, the new heaven, and the new Jerusalem. They're going to be given dominion once again over reality. They're going to rule and reign, be given dominion. And because we are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we are going to receive the inheritance that Christ receives, which is we are going to be given restored authority. We will become princes and princesses under the Lord Jesus Christ. We will become priest kings and priestess queens under the authority of Jesus Christ. We will rule and reign with Christ from heaven, and even now in heaven, you have a throne to sit on that has already been built with your name on it. And so, I don't know how it works logistically, but there are going to be millions of thrones in heaven next to or in proximity to the throne that Jesus Christ sits on. And you and I are destined by God to rule and reign over all things with Christ, and we even have thrones for us to sit on. God's people need to get a revelation by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God of that truth. We have lost, the church especially, has lost its revelation of its authority, of its dominion, of its ruling and reigning. of the fact that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for all eternity, and we're going to sit on thrones next to Christ in heaven. This isn't some little fairy tale comforting story. This is final reality. But you see, the training process for ruling and reigning begins right now, right here on planet Earth. So God places us in a spiritual battle where we are engaged against the powers of darkness, and we employ spiritual weapons as well as our supernatural authority to rule and reign. And as such, because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and because we're overcomers, we're going to conquer the devil, the demons, the fallen angels, the people who sold their souls to the devil. And we are going to rule and reign in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. But the training process for that, the development of those abilities begins right here, right now on planet Earth. And that should affect everything that you face. That should affect every trial, every temptation, every spiritual battle, every situation you find yourself in, whether it's a pandemic or it's financial challenges, whatever it is, you are to engage those adversaries or those challenges, not as a frightened slave, but you are to engage those challenges, those battles, you're to engage them as someone who was ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus, someone who knows and has a revelation of their supernatural authority in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches that lesson from so many different perspectives. We talked about some on yesterday's program. But when you think of Joshua and Caleb, they were able to go into the land of Canaan and conquer all of the giants because they had a word of God perception of their supernatural authority to rule and reign, of their supernatural authority to exercise dominion over the giants, and they were able to conquer the land and occupy the land as Jesus Christ commanded them. So here we are in the last days at the end of the age, and we too, just like Joshua and Caleb, just like Joseph, just like Daniel, just like all the other people in the Bible, we too are facing adversaries and conflicts and spiritual battles and spiritual warfare. So what is our response supposed to be? Is it supposed to be fear and panic and operating from a slave mentality, from a captivity mentality? Or is our response supposed to be connected to our core identity, where we understand through a revelation of the Spirit of God and a revelation of the Word of God, where we really understand that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we have been given from Christ Jesus the supernatural power to rule and reign and exercise dominion in relationship to every adversary we encounter? Now, that's a posture of fearlessness. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This is the time in the United States of America and across the world. This is the time, my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, when you and I are being called to rise in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is the time for that. And we are not to fear the enemy, whether the enemy is spiritual or human or technological or what. We are to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to rise with our spiritual weapons, and through faith in the power of God, we are to rise, occupy the land, exercise spiritual dominion over the land, and we are to drive the enemies of God from the land that God has given us, and we are to recapture the land that was stolen from us. And that encompasses recapturing every territory that was stolen from us so that we can preserve whatever degrees of freedom are necessary in order for us to fulfill God's destiny for our lives and to fulfill God's mission for us as the believing church, which means we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to bring in the last day's soul harvest. We're to make disciples of all nations. And we're to do this operating in victory, not fear, not running, not hiding. We're to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just like David did. He wasn't afraid of Goliath. David was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and then he moved against Goliath, and Goliath fell. The Philistine armies ran in terror, and then the armies of the living God that Goliath was mocking, the armies of the living God rose under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and they retook the land that was stolen from them. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. You know, this battle is basically a battle that is being waged in the hearts and minds of men and women across this nation and this world. That's why I titled my book, my new book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Because the battle that's raging is raging in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. And so God gives us spiritual weapons that can take the form of video, television, radio, audio, internet, various social media platforms, books, articles, conferences, teaching, etc., etc., and the utilization of the full spectrum of technology to engage in a spiritual warfare. And we use our God-given imagination. We seek the Lord to be anointed by the Holy Spirit so that we can penetrate the hearts and minds of men and women who are in captivity, who have been deliberately blinded by Satan. We have been given the power and the strategies to set them free with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And if we do that, then we can ignite a biblical third great awakening, a great awakening in America that will sweep the world. And there can be, potentially, if God's people will repent and cry out to God, there can be potentially pockets of biblical revival that break out. And our nation does not have to fall to tyranny, to Marxism, to socialism, to totalitarianism, and to some kind of electronic dictatorship. Our nation can resound with freedom, but freedom is a byproduct of when we allow the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God to be poured out upon our individual lives and our nation. The Word of God says that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So in America or any other nation, when the Spirit of the Lord is being driven out, there is no liberty. There's only darkness and the totalitarianism. But when we welcome and summon and embrace the Spirit of the Lord, that produces liberty and freedom and revival and salvation. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We need you to spread these messages far and wide, as well as be proactive and copy all of the alternative websites, social media platforms, video platforms, audio platforms that we have listed for you, along with their links at paulmcguire.us. And then in order to win this great battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world, we need to acquire new technologies for production. We need to increase the technologies for production, the studios, the distribution technologies, the acquiring and building of both studio and meeting facilities, where both can be done, so that we can reach the world effectively with cutting-edge technology, so that we can maximize the usage of social media platforms, film, audio, television, etc., etc. So in order to do that, I'm asking you to continue to be a faithful prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry and this church. Your intense spiritual warfare is turning the tide of the battle. As I shared with you recently, we have been under all-out attack from so many different avenues that it was clearly demonic. My life was almost ended. My capacity to think, speak, the whole deal, it was almost, I don't want to get into it too specifically, but let's just put it this way. I thought that within like a second, it was going to be all over for me. Or at the very least, I would be, I don't mean this to be, crude, but I thought I was either going to die within about a second, or that I would be a complete vegetable, unable to speak, unable to think or walk, confined to a wheelchair. In other words, I thought the devil had taken me out. And that was the last thought that I had before impact. And I won't get into specifics. I believe I was spared by God. I believe the angels of God grabbed a hold of me, and the power of God prevented the full measure of that impact from occurring. The Word of God says, although the righteous may stumble, they shall not fall. In other words, you can stumble, you can go into a falling mode, but the Lord blocks the full impact from that happening because of His grace, unmerited favor. I believe that unmerited favor and that grace that prevented my premature demise, I believe it was activated by you because you chose to be a faithful prayer warrior. In fact, I believe that as I'm talking to you right now, that there are a significant number of you that didn't know why, but within the last month or so, you have had an intense burden to pray for me, my family, this ministry. And in fact, I would suggest to you that at the very time my life potentially was ended and I would have been taken out, I believe a number of you, a significant number of you, that the Lord put a very strong burden upon you to pray for me in intercessory prayer. And you didn't know what was happening at the time. You just responded to God's call for you to pray for me. And you did that. And that's what stopped death and destruction from happening. And the end of this ministry. And far worse. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you for being faithful to answer the Lord's call to pray for me, my family. I want to thank you for that. You know, some of you have experienced this, where you've been very close to death, very close to death. I would say, I don't want to get into the specifics, but I would say that I was extremely close to death. And you have those final thoughts, and things get into perspective of what's important and what's not important. And I'll tell you what, and you know what I'm talking about. You come out of it very sobered. Not, there's always somebody out there who will twist your word. That's not implying that I was intoxicated. I'm talking about sobered in the sense of we walk around in this world as if we're invincible. Then we have a near encounter with our own death. And you have those sobering thoughts. And then I won't describe to you the physical damage that occurred to me that was so gruesome. I wouldn't have been able to hide it from anybody. You could have taken one look at me and said, my God, what happened to him? And I don't want to get into the details. I thank God that part is almost fully recovered, and that I'm essentially fully recovered by the grace of God, unmerited favor. But it sobers you up, and you think of things that are the things that are important, that the things are that are eternal. The things that are important are your family, your loved ones. The things that are important to me, serious about this, are the people that support this ministry through prayers, encouraging notes, financial contributions, etc. All of a sudden, you know, you pick up the notes and letters and find yourself calling people and praying for them and feeling the weight of their burden and sorrow with a fresh sensitivity. You realize that God, you realize this is what happened to me. Not that I didn't know it, I knew it, but it was like God turned on a fire, and I realized without any fogginess, I realized that God spared me from death, or literally becoming a vegetable, incapable of doing anything. God spared me for a reason. And I know what that reason is. It's to continue on in the ministry, saving souls, functioning as a watchman, teaching the Bible, leading people to Jesus Christ, making a difference in this nation and this world. I realized that if God did not have a call on my life and an assignment, he would have allowed me to be taken out. And so don't be offended by, Jack Hayford used to use this metaphor, so please don't be offended by the metaphor. But in a sense, in circumcision, there's a cutting away of the foreskin, okay? Which obviously it's also a cutting away of flesh. It's a biblical teaching that also refers to the cutting away of our flesh. Okay, circumcision. So when you go through a near-death experience and you come out of it, the Lord uses it to circumcise your heart, to cut away any hardness in your heart, to cut away any of the flesh in your heart that would cause you to be dull or insensitive in any way to the Lord, the things of the Lord. So I came out of that shook up, which was a good thing. Sometimes we need to be shaken up. Okay? It was a good thing because it made me super sensitive to the things of God. It made me acutely aware of my responsibilities and call before God, and that the only reason God spared my life was that he had a call and that the mission is not over, just like he has a call on your life and your mission is not over. And so I've been carrying that in my spirit and soul for the last 4 or 5 weeks since that spiritual attack happened. And there's been other spiritual attacks that have been brutal. And yet I find myself infused with a new strength and deeper faith because I realize God supernaturally spared me from death. God can certainly supernaturally give me victory with the other spiritual battles. God is doing the same thing in your life. So I want to thank you for praying for me from the bottom of my heart. Because without your prayers, I wouldn't be here. So thank you. And you know who you are. Thank you. And actually, I'm getting unusually choked up and emotional. But that's a good thing also. And I want to thank you for spreading the word of this ministry far and wide. I want to thank you for getting on the spreading of the alternative internet sites and social media sites. For crying out loud, you understand this, they're waging war against this ministry and every ministry that is teaching and preaching the Bible, they're waging war. They want to tear us down, social media and the internet and video and all that stuff. Oh, don't think it isn't coming. It's coming. They're salivating like rabid dogs, demon infested. They're salivating to censor Dr. Seuss, for crying out loud. If you think that if they're so filled with the desire to censor Dr. Seuss, do you think it's going to stop with Dr. Seuss? You know it doesn't stop with Dr. Seuss. The Bible's next. If they're going after Dr. Seuss, I promise you, the Bible is next. And along with that is any ministry, any person, any technology that's being used to distribute or promote or teach the Bible. That's on their list. Wake up, church, for crying out loud. Wake up. It's not about our safety. It's about our children and grandchildren. Now, and finally, it is now or never. We must raise the monies through your contributions and donations and financial donations. I'm asking you to seek the Lord with childlike faith and pour out your heart to God. We have to have the technologies. We have to expand the distribution networks. We have to get the cutting-edge production facilities. We have to expand the outreach. That means more of the technology we need, more of the studio space we need, more of the expert help we need. And that costs money. But you see, we either spend that money now and win the battle or make a significant contribution to winning the battle. Because if we wait, it's too late. They will have crashed through the gates and it'll be over. I'm telling you, everything in me, it's so obvious. It's obvious to you or you wouldn't be listening to me. If they're going for Dr. Seuss, I'm telling you, they're coming for us. So this is the strategic moment. And that means you have to sacrifice just like I do. So I'm simply asking you to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, the battle is raging. I know what Paul is saying is true. Lord, show me how much you want me to contribute financially or donate financially. And then if you don't have the resources, say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be able to give and donate. I'm asking you, Jesus, to provide for me the additional resources and monies I need so that I can donate it. And you, if you pray with a right heart and a right attitude, not only will the Lord tell you how much to give, but I promise you, the Lord will give to you way over and above the monies that you need for yourself and your family. The Lord will give you an additional measure so that you can donate it for this spiritual battle in protecting our freedoms. Because it's now or never, folks. So I'm asking you to do that. I'm doing it. Everything goes to the front line. I don't know about these other ministers. I really don't. I don't understand them. I've never understood them. For 20 years I've been talking about this, and I don't understand them. I don't understand how you can put your head on the pillow. My wife asked me, well, Paul, why are your dreams so intense night after night? Because you're tossing and you're turning, and sometimes you mumble and you sleep. And she says, it's like you're going through some kind of hellish warfare. And I tell her, honey, the dream, I don't totally understand the dreams, but I know that dreams are a way that God gives us to process what we're going through in physical reality. And I said to her, I believe the intensity of the dreams I experience are really a mirror of the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And if I wasn't on the front lines of this spiritual battle, and if I wasn't so deeply committed to the outcome of this spiritual battle, then I'd probably just have sweet, cute little dreams. But the dreams are intense because what I'm going through is intense. But I don't complain about it. And I won't stop doing what God called me to do. And neither should you. So I want to encourage you. Jesus is Lord. God bless you. This is your brother in Christ. Together, we can turn this battle around. I'm telling you, we can turn it around. Why? Because the Bible says we can turn it around. In the history of spiritual battles in the Bible, the armies and the generals that had the larger numbers and the larger resources, that did not determine the outcome of the spiritual battle. When God's people, even if they were in a physical minority and they didn't have the same resources as the evil forces, God's people would always win the spiritual battle if they put their faith in God, did not worship idols, and obeyed what the Lord told them to do. And we can do the same thing in America. God, don't listen to these people who have no idea what they're talking about. They've never studied a thing, and they're like foghorns of despair saying, America's doomed. There's nothing God will do with it. No, that's not true. You and I are here for a reason, and that reason is Jesus Christ. And together, when two of us come together, there Jesus is in the midst of us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.